right, everyone, welcome back to Stunt Glammy Audio Update. I am Dusty Giebing, fresh off doing an audio last night with Mississippi Time, and I am now being joined by the slightly more sober Jordan. How are you doing today?
Fine and dandy, like sour candy, or what did I say? Clean as a whistle, fit as a thistle? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
fine.
What you said.
So, yep, fine and dandy.
You are in possession of Diet Mountain Dew and depression, am I right?
Yes, a list of guys. I made a list from 2002 on of every guy that WWE, well, I'm sure I forgot some, but every guy I could think of that has debuted in WWE since 2002 that wasn't just a straight WCW guy.
Sure.
97 names.
Two world champions. The genesis of this was we were talking about, have they created any stars?
No, and as a little set of, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, it's depressing. It's absolutely depressing. You think about how much changed. I think I talked to you about this like a year ago or whatever. How much changed from 99 to 2004? Everything. How much changed from 94 to 99? Everything. 89 to 94. You know, if you just go in those five-year increments, how much changed? And how much has changed? I mean, stars, champion, I mean, just everything. And how much has changed from 2004 to 2009? Not a whole lot. Couple more dead guys. And that's about it. Really. That's the only reason you either die or go to TNA, which is, you know, lateral move.
About on par, yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically it.
Yeah.
And their idea to change things. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, I think Booker T right now, the only one who's come back. That's the only thing different, you know? Is that
right.
Booker left and come back. Everybody else leaves or dies.
Right. Yeah, that's it. I mean, and Booker T was so they ran out of ideas for Booker T forever ago. I can't imagine that now that he's 2 years older and was being unprofessional in TNA. I mean, again, I can't swallow the horror. I don't know what they expect to get out of him now. He can feud with Batista over their insider thing from 2006 or whatever it was that I can't even remember because it was that meaningless. That's it.
He could feud with Cena over who the bigger Hollywood actor is.
Right. R-Truth for T. Battle for Letters. I mean, it's glorious.
Yeah.
And then throw Triple H in there and then, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And Barry O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
PY too high. All right, anyway. So, do you want me to just start rattling off some of these names and do like we thought about and if we have anything come to mind?
Right, we'll mention like if we liked them or didn't like them or if they blew an opportunity with him or whether he was useless, and some people we won't talk about at all.
Right.
Because we don't care. So.
Right. And most, I mean, because they told us not to care, so why should we go through any kind of effort? So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got, you know, Kofi now. Do you really see him being a WWE champion? Probably not.
No.
I mean, he's going to be slotted in that he'll be Intercontinental or U.S. champion 8 times and then never do anything. They'll sell some merchandise, you know, there'll be a controlled frenzy, and then we'll move on. We got Rob Conway.
One opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, because we both saw him in OVW, and we saw what he could be. And then they put him in La Resistance for no real reason, just because he was a French-Canadian sympathizer, I guess, maybe.
Okay.
And then they gave him the look at me music and then had like 4 matches and then disappeared.
That was kind of funny, but they didn't do anything with it.
No, I mean, like I've talked about before with, like, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, their gimmick is their name. His gimmick was his music. That's it.
Yeah.
Rene Dupree. Was he 20?
I liked him. He goofy charisma.
And the little French tickler thing. But, I mean, he still was only, like, 23 by the time he was done in WWE, 24. I mean, I remember when he was debuting, they were touting him as, you know, the youngest future champion ever. And then he, you know, had
still
his proverbial. Yeah, still young. Still plenty young. Still
and
15 years.
Back at some point.
Yeah, I think so, too. They have a tendency. Some of these names they brought back multiple times, so. You hope. But then again, they could go like the next guy, Chuck Palumbo. Yeah, he's a WCW guy, but they've tried multiple times and even brought him back and put him on another pay-per-view. And
he's got
the size, just meh. Kenzo Suzuki. Yeah. They found the biggest guy in Japan. That was about it, and then that was all the credentials needed. Mark Jindrak, I always sucked. Let's see, Luther Reigns.
I had peas before.
We got a guy they tried multiple times with again, Kevin Thorne / Mordecai. London, who was never going to be anything because he's short. And Paul London. Spanky / Brian Kendrick, same thing. Akio, another guy, he's Japanese, he's not going to be world champion. I mean, that's as ridiculous as that is. Heidenreich, why they picked that guy, I always thought that guy sucked. Orlando Jordan, same thing. Carlito. There's a name. I think they wanted to make him world champion. I just don't think Carlito wants Carlito to be world champion.
Well, they rubber banded him, which they do with a lot of young guys. They'll rubber band him backwards after a big initial push.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just handling it, he lost all hope, I think.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's a very good way of putting it. I mean, his first night on WWE TV, he beats John Cena for the U.S. belt. His first night on Raw, he wins the Intercontinental title. It was, you know, they had plans for him, you could tell. But then, you know, they rubber banded him back, put him, you know, anytime a guy starts getting over, they find an excuse to take him down, and then there he goes. And then the whole, you know, him not caring, leaving the arena where Flair cut the promo on him and et cetera.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then that was basically the end of him. Daniel Puter, that was his own fault by actually being more talented in a wrestling match than Kurt Angle or in an MMA type thing. That'll teach him. God forbid you have a talented guy who can legitimately beat one of your best wrestlers, but that's what an idiot, stupid guy. Boogeyman, unbelievable. I don't know what to say about him. I mean, he beat Booker T and JBL on pay-per-view, but nothing.
I don't know if they really believed in him or whether that was just some kind of prank.
Was it a giant rib on everybody or what?
It could be.
It was a rib on the worms and the clock industry. But I think, I mean, he was 40 because the whole thing about him getting kicked off that Tough Enough because he lied about his age.
I'm 40.
And yet they still brought him in because he was big and muscular. And he definitely had a look. We can say that. But really, I think they probably, like the next guy we'll talk about, Paul E., I think they got the most that they could get out of them. I don't think it's a case of wasted potential. I just think there's very limited potential in that, and they tapped it pretty quickly. Yeah, because Kali, you got what you got out of Kali. They knew what they were going to get.
And Ali had a pretty fine career for himself, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so, too. His matches weren't that interesting ever, but, you know, having him talk was one of the greatest moments ever, whatever he was saying, in Khali's. And, yeah, they got a world title run out of him, several pay-per-view main events. He was the default champion during the Benoit disaster. Because, you know, even though he had elevated liver enzymes as well. But, yeah. So,
yeah.
Hey, yeah, so there's one where I think, okay, two guys. But, again, isn't the point to have a guy you can have for years and years sometimes, you know? Boogeyman was just going to be a gimmick. So that we can't consider, but, yeah.
Right, right. That's a guy that you never expected to be a world champion.
No, he was going to be like, you know, he's your Papa Shango of today, there to kind of spook some kids and sell some masks and be goofy, and that's it.
There you go. That's right on.
Then we got, like, Ryan Braddock, who they tried multiple times with, Lance Cade, who they tried multiple times with, and kept, you know, saying he was going to be world champion. Then the whole... plane. He's been gone twice, so I expect a third time out of him once, you know, he gets his shit together. Because, you know, with Sean there, he's going to have pull since he trained him. That's a guy I expect back. Trevor Murdoch or Jethro Holiday or whatever his name is in TNA. Domino, total domination. Sim Snuka / Deuce. Deuce is the proper name. Primo Colon. Daivari. I just read my handwriting and it said Primo Colon. I forgot it was Cologne. Daivari. Muhammad Hassan. Yeah. That was one of their more tasteless things.
There's a guy that had some talent and could have been a decent mid-carder.
Right.
I don't know if it's because of his name or just the way he wrestled, but he kind of reminded me of like a Marvelous Mark Mero.
Yeah, he kind of had the look, too. Kind of same, jacked up. But it's kind of interesting. I don't remember. I heard this at one point. And I don't remember if it was Cornette or if it was somebody. But if Daivari looked like Muhammad Hassan, that gimmick would have gone a lot farther. Because Daivari's a lot more talented than that guy was. And then, you know, we talked about this before on the ill-fated first audio. But the Muhammad Hassan, the London bombing.
Right.
The stupidest thing they ever did, and were forced to kill their own gimmick by CW. Let's see, Armando Estrada, who should still be there as a manager somewhere.
Absolutely.
No reason. He started getting over the Armando Estrada thing, and then they made sure he didn't talk anymore. I always thought it was a neat thing to break the cigarette or the cigar, and you know it's a neat little like saying a message. It made more sense because at least he could control Umaga. Then Umaga just became a wild savage with braided hair, who got it everywhere he got with no help. He just drove around, you know, bought his own groceries, etc. Then you got Festus, who. Yeah. That gimmick could have potentially had a little potential, but nah. And now he's not. I haven't seen him in ages, so.
I have a feeling it's because they're going to reintroduce him with a new gimmick pretty soon.
I think so, too. Gimmick number three.
Yep. Hey, they gave Dean how many gimmicks before he finally got over, and I think that's the closest comparison for Festus.
Right. Yeah, because Kane was... two different, New Diesel and one of the Black Knights, but yeah, that doesn't count. And it really is, I don't have a problem with them repackaging, because you don't always get it right away, and nowadays they don't even do that. I'm kind of glad when they do it, because now if a guy's gimmick doesn't get over, whether it's bad writing or the fact that they have 4 weeks in 3-minute matches to get over, and if they don't get over, then that's their problem. With a shitty gimmick, then they're fired. They're future endeavored, and we're never heard from again. So,
when the real problem is the gimmick they gave them.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. That the second Kane wasn't going to get over. Festus was going to go so far. But you know, that you'll notice that name with a lot of these, or that theme with a lot of these guys, like the Dicks. I don't know, you know, who knows what they were going to be. The Heartthrobs, DJ Gabriel. Here's one, Scotty Goldman.
Okay,
unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a failed opportunity. Hit him in the developmental for just way too long.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you don't know what to do with Colt Cabana? Hello?
Yeah, no kidding. That guy sort of does, you know, it's one of those things like Austin, like I'm not comparing the two, but the character-wise where it's just like Austin sort of became his own character and you just ride that wave. Colt Cabana could have done that so long. I mean, yeah, Colt Cabana, the name could have changed. I don't want, you know, but
right.
It's you just let Colt Cabana be Colt Cabana and just go.
Right.
But
and it's just not a main event thing, but it's a mid-card thing.
Right. Well, and then, okay, so they let him, they took him off WWE TV, and then he's doing commentary with Dusty in Florida, in Florida Championship Wrestling. And it was really entertaining.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, but then, you know, apparently Dusty and everybody had a problem with him, so off he's gone, you know, off he went. And now he's nowhere. So it's pathetic. Colt Cabana and he is getting tryout matches, not even a contract, but tryout matches with TNA.
Uh-huh.
Ridiculous.
I don't get it. He is.
I know.
Either hire him or don't, but you know what he is.
I know. We're gonna give him a shot, but I don't know if he's as good as Eric Young, so let's not.
Right?
Fucking hell. Eric Young or the Rob Terry or any of these other freaks that are in TNA have a job, but Colt Cabana has to try out. Yeah, I don't understand it. Another name, Sylvain Grenier, who sort of came out of nowhere and then sort of went nowhere and then disappeared into nowhere. Simon Dean, Nova, there's another case of a guy being in developmental for 100 years, and then the best they can come up with him is that gimmick. The Gemini, the Shane twins, they were just like the Blue Brothers and everybody else, a set of twins that had, you know, combined had negative 10 charisma.
exactly.
Kurt Hawkins, who's, like you said, is technically still on SmackDown, but nobody's seen him.
Right.
Ezekiel Jackson, who knows? The modern-day Ahmed Johnson. Yeah, it's, you know, he could be because he's got a size, but really, a lot of these guys could be, but
right.
And he tripled in size from the time he debuted, so that's pretty good. Good for him. Nice to see he's hitting the gym.
there we are. Yeah.
He's on the whatever Simon Dean system was. Umaga, who, you know, great debut. I thought, like we talked about with Estrada, really good handling of it. Had some good matches. Was pretty devastating. And then was killed by Triple H pretty much immediately. Squashed for no reason. And then thus ended the real threat of Umaga. They tried again, and then nothing.
Yeah.
Jesse, who...
is what we're hearing now, so...
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get another shot at it.
Right. But, I mean, really, with all the... How many times Cena and Orton held the belts, would it have killed them to have Umaga be world champion once? Even for a monster run? No.
No.
You know, if Yokozuna could be world champion, Umaga could be world champion.
Well, I'm begging for a heel champion. They never really do that, you know?
No.
Like
a great heel,
unlikable dude, you know?
Right. They really, but yeah, and they sort of try it, and then the guys are so good at being, quote-unquote, unlikable that they start becoming likable because they're different. You know, Edge started getting pretty good cheers when he was his bastard heel. And even Orton now, if you listen, he gets as many cheers as Cena. it depends on the crowd and where they are, but I mean, the crowd is just begging to turn Orton. So there is no, and there hasn't been a monster heel where who in the hell is going to take this guy down angle in a long time. And I'd love to see that. It, you know, UFC's got that going on with Lesnar. Why can't you have an Umaga or some big dude who nobody can beat?
Exactly.
But then that would involve a Goldberg-like push, and they're terrified of doing that. So.
By the way, I really think they should do a double turn with Cena and Orton.
Oh, I do too. I totally do.
That would freshen things right up. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they could feud with each other from different sides.
Yeah.
No, that's the only – I mean, no, I'm totally with you. I'm all for – Orton is so different. And, you know, Erin and I, as we were watching TV on Monday, she hadn't watched it in a month or two.
Sure.
And she hadn't seen Orton with his shaved head. And she goes, God, Orton looks kind of badass now with his tattoo sleeves. And he looks like a walking skeleton, like in a good way.
Nice.
And Aaron's like, I could see fans taking to this because he looks different than everybody else.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know. And then she couldn't figure out what his gas mask shirt was all about. She spent like 20 minutes. Why is there an elephant with a lightning bolt in its head? I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, really, there's no reason they couldn't. They probably should turn at least one of them.
Well,
but
look,
won't.
I mean, Orton as a babyface can feud against Legacy, you know?
Right, but, okay, let me go back to the rant. You've heard it before, but other people haven't, because I even talked to Eric about this last night. The Orton versus Legacy thing, the Monday, the DiBiase Rhodes thing, it's just ridiculous. I don't get how, like we talked about, that DiBiase and Rhodes versus DiBiase versus Rhodes versus Cena for to be on the Raw side, to be on Triple H's team, why the hell they were fighting for that in the first place? Why Rhodes and DiBiase are trying so hard to be on their bitter rival team? And then it just gets to the point where they're fighting so hard that DiBiase might turn babyface because Rhodes stole the pin from him to be on Triple H's team, who they've been trying to kill for three straight pay-per-views.
You know?
Yeah. Good stuff. Very good. Very logical.
And Kevin said last night, with no prompting from me, why wouldn't they just lay down and take
the pin? Like we talked about before, you said that same thing. Like, why? Why wouldn't they? Yeah, that's what killed me. And even my wife, who, you know, used to watch a lot, but she's in school. She doesn't see anything. She's got so many things going on. She even pointed out, and she's about as casual can be. She knows who the guys are, but she's like, what the hell is that about? That doesn't make any sense. And now one of them dislikes the other for this? Like, they're breaking up Legacy for that, or that version of Legacy.
No, they need to keep Legacy together so they can keep introducing new guys.
Right. They have to break them. I know, so easy. But they have to break them up so Rhodes can really work hard and be on Triple H's team so they can earn bragging rights. Whatever the hell that is. Not even a belt. If it were for a belt, if they were entered in some tournament to become a champion of something, fine. Then there's a reason for one to be more selfish than the other. But for the right to team with Triple H, what? Just kills me. It just kills me. I don't have as much anger as I did Tuesday, but God, it still kills me.
You have to laugh or else you'll cry.
I know. It's so depressing. So depressing. And, you know, there's no heels or baby faces. There's no reason. There's no feud. No good feuds. There's no build up to anything. Like I said before, Aaron said that, you know, my personality doesn't gel with your personality. Let's argue. Let's have three consecutive matches.
And that's all they do to set up matches is just get on the microphone and yada yada for 15 minutes, and all of a sudden they hate each other.
Yep.
Come on.
Unbelievable. It's so depressing. I mean, it's like, you can tell the writers are burned out. They just don't care. Plus, they hate wrestling.
Yeah, they do. They do. Well, it's not wrestling. They're in the entertainment business, Jordan.
Right. That's my fault. World entertainment. Yeah.
But something that calls itself entertainment, it's sure not entertaining, is it?
No. And they say they're marketing. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the ultimate oxymoron.
Yeah. Oh, you're totally right. And, you know, like, they're going in the PG direction, and people are like, oh, they're handicapped by that. That's not why. They were PG before in the 80s or even, you know, and they made money hand over fist, and it still could be entertaining. It was a kids program. And the funny thing is you say they're marketing towards kids, but more kids watched during the Attitude Era, like three times as many kids did as watch now.
Right.
because kids want...
Unlike what some imbeciles on message boards will tell you, they were marketing to kids during the Attitude Era.
Oh, yes.
Because kids like chicks with big boobs, and kids like, you know, singing along with the Rock, and they like catchphrases, and they like flicking their middle finger in the air. That was for kids.
Right. Well, and it's exactly it. And I think kids, and you think about this too, you wanted to do what people 5 to 7 years older than you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be treated as a kid. You don't, if you're watching something geared for 10-year-olds, then you're like, this is really cheesy. But if it's a rated R movie and you're 10, you think it's the shit.
Exactly.
It's the greatest thing you've ever seen.
Exactly.
So it's unbelievable that they're gearing towards, they're marketing for 10-year-olds, but actually what they're doing is gearing towards like 3-year-olds.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's the only buddy who can find this shit funny. The Hornswoggle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they've so totally lost touch. And you know, it's unbelievably depressing. That's losing touch is about problem 47 out of 100. But it's still one of them. Should I get back to the list since we got like not even halfway through it?
I thought that was necessary, so that's good. But yeah, let's go back to the list now.
Yeah, well, that'll be a good little interlude, because then then it gets to Jesse or, you know, in Crime Time. Yeah, Kennedy. There's a guy who, his own worst enemy, did what he could. What's funny is you can tell they had some plans, but nothing really major. He's going to be a mid-card level guy. Then they let him talk. The crowd started liking it. They gave him a different entrance. He looked different. He introduced himself. Boom. He just starts, you know, the crowd starts going nuts for him.
Yeah,
he wins Money in the Bank. You can tell they have big plans to make him a champion at some point. Then he gets hurt. Then he opens his big fat mouth during the Benoit thing, and thus pretty much ended their career. Well, and he sucked. I always thought he sucked too.
Well, he never got better.
No, he came in as a lot of guys come in that level because they're called up way too early. But he stayed exactly the same over the next 3 years and. Was, you know, had that ill-fated 10-man Nuggets-Lakers match, and that was the last, we saw of him.
He didn't get hurt, though.
I saw the video, he didn't, you're right. What a fucking idiot. Kozlov, it isn't 1988 anymore. That's, you know, Lashley... That was sort of their own doing again. Pushed him pretty heavily.
Right.
And then he got, you know, pretty high. I mean, really high. He put him in the Trump match, which is really high. And then then he got hurt. Then he was 100 pounds smaller. Then he left. Now he's the boss.
Oh,
and I keep waiting for Nick Bockwinkel to take his gimmick away in TNA. Yeah, who was in a stretcher match against Rhino last night. I still don't understand that. Rodney Mack, we've had enough white boy challenges for our lifetime. Rico, who we've talked about on multiple audios, is the guy. I definitely think they screwed that one up.
Loved Rico. Loved Rico. Great talker, great charisma, but they made up a hairdresser.
Yep, and there goes his career and his love of the business.
The hairdresser.
God, for Billy and Chuck. Then he's inexplicably with 3 minute warning. And then, yeah. Just, there is still so much room in this for a Rico. Rico could be a great manager, an annoyingly great manager.
Yes.
Just, but no, he's no longer in the business.
Can take bumps and stuff, you know?
Yep. Yep.
I don't want to be Bobby Heenan, but.
No, nobody's going to be Bobby Heenan, but he could still be, you know, he could still go in, and if you need a, you know, a guy to beat up the manager, 5 minutes alone with the manager type thing, Rico could do what Rico needed to do.
Holy shit.
Yep, that's it. I mean, it's not that hard, but they saddled him. He was always the guy Cornette touted as the guy most ready for WWE, the guy he thought had the most talent in all of OVW. And
yet they had no clue what to do with him. So
no,
this was a
major
fail.
No, I mean, and you look at it, I mean, even Batista, Cena, Norton all had the wrong gimmick at first.
Deacon Batista? Hello.
Oh, man, that pledge box around his neck with the cut-off sleeves. Reverend.
Killer Monster Leviathan to being Deacon Batista. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. He's going to steal my pledge money.
No! I've only given $10. Please!
The Deacon of the Deep. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Then he disappears because they're like, huh, this is not working for some reason. And then he comes back. And Orton was, you know, your goofy baby face, and then the Randy News Network things were great.
Loved his arm.
Loved it.
Yep.
Well, and if they had as much patience with everyone else as they have with Randy Orton, I mean, not everyone deserves as much patience, but he's on strike 11.
They need to be smug enough to know who deserves it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not.
No, they're not. The Miz, I think he should be, he's getting to a point where they should be not necessarily a world champion, but at least, you know, that feud with Cena was the giant missed opportunity. Reach for the brass ring. He took the brass ring, started going with it, was cutting some great interviews in the ring, was doing everything. And then, oh, never mind. We'll just have him squashed, in 3 minutes. Joey Mercury, Kid Cash. Yeah. Drugs. Highlanders. That was getting as far as it was getting. Drew McIntyre, who they're apparently in love with. We'll see. I don't know.
I'm not all that impressed right now, but we'll see.
No. Yeah, who knows? They'll keep trying, and then he'll have one pay-per-view where the main event is actually like Triple H Orton. The buy rate will be low, and they'll blame it on Drew, and that'll be the end of his career. Masters, they've tried many, many times with. And they cut his legs off all the time, too. The last time where they talked about his hair plugs, that he was done. Spirit Squad.
Oh, God. It kills me.
I know.
The only one they kept is the worst one of the bunch.
Right. And he's on gimmick number 3.
Yep. And I'm not saying it's bad. I like him.
No, I agree. But Mike Mondo, just because he was short, I mean, again, there's a guy who could be, who should still be there.
Yes.
And then, what was it?
Charisma.
Oh, my God.
Give him anything. And
Oh, yeah. He could, you know, I mean, as silly as it is, he could be entertaining feuding with Hornswoggle or doing whatever they needed him to do. I mean, he'd be, that's as far as he was ever going to get, but,
I always said that he should have been in TNA in Eric Young's spot.
Oh, I agree. Oh, he's
made that funny.
Oh, agreed. Oh, yeah, the Super Eric stuff and just everything. He's 10 times better than Eric Young.
Oh, God, yes.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, how the hell? It makes no sense. Nothing makes any sense.
And then you had, you had Kenny Doane and Johnny Jeter, who could have developed into really solid workers along the lines of maybe Chris Jericho.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm.
And they very half-assedly tried with the Kenny Dykstra, which was a stupid name again. They very half-assedly tried, and then he disappeared and he's gone. Just like that. No real effort. They gave him a few half-ass gimmicks with some really convoluted bullshit storyline, and he's done.
Yep.
Thus endeth him. And the only one left is Mr. Ziggles, and yes, we all know how that's going. Just ridiculous. MVP, who should be a world champion right now. I don't care what people say.
I always look for a good black guy that they should make a world champion, you know?
I know.
Because
just
like Bill Watts said, you look at basketball, black people dominate it. You look at football, and except for quarterbacks, black people dominate, you know, running backs, wide receivers, all black athletes. What a neon flashing sign it is that wrestling is fake. That all the black wrestlers are like Coco Beware, you know?
Right, or R-Truth.
R-Truth. Jokes, you know?
Yeah, I know. And he's got everything you need. Everything they could possibly want from a world champion, he's got. He can have a good enough match because they started him early. They built him slowly, had him feud with Benoit and Finley and, you know, learn with those guys. And then, you know, teamed him with Matt and doing all this stuff. And then he's got so much charisma. He can talk a mean streak. He's got the stupid move that people can chant along with, the ballin' move, you know, which helps, you know, move people identify him with. And, you know, and he looks different than everyone else. Not just the black, but the outfit, the hair. He just looks a lot more credible. And it's a big demographic they're missing. A gigantic one. Yeah, that's a very good point.
If you want to make him a baby face, I don't necessarily agree with that, but you can use his prison time, and you can make him a sympathetic guy, like I learned my lesson from this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Instead,
he's exactly where he's been for the last 3 years and will be for the next little while. Feud him with another, or we'll just team him with the other black guy we have on Raw and just go with it.
That idea took all of about 3 seconds to come up with.
Yep. Oh, I can see
black guy's name, the other black guy, Mark Henry. And that was it. That's how the idea came about.
Yep. And they tried to make it work. They were not the worst team in the world, but again, that they had nothing in common except for skin color. So, yep. So, Matt Morgan, I don't know. And Nathan Jones, lactated his way out of WWE. Sean O'Hare. Great vignettes. See, there's another thing they don't ever do. They don't debut anybody like they did Sean O'Hare. And they debuted him and put him with Mr. America and Roddy Piper. So there we go.
Huge opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he had a look, too. Talk about a guy that you turn heads in airports.
And I always said that he executed moves that looked like he was killing the guy, you know?
Yeah, he did. And then just, no. They pushed those vignettes, so I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, for what, a month, 2 months? And then he's around for 2 months, 3 months, and then he's gone. But I still remember. That's why I have Nathan Jones and Sean O'Hare, because that was right around the same time that both those vignettes were airing at the same, and they were both great in a completely different way.
Yes, absolutely.
Got you excited to see these guys. You thought, holy shit, these guys are a big deal. And
right.
They don't do that at all anymore with anyone.
No.
Even if a guy coming back, they used to do that with guys coming back. Like, remember when Triple H got hurt in 01? They aired those things for weeks. And then when he came in, people wanted to see him so badly, they gave him probably one of the biggest reactions I've ever seen.
Exactly. Because we were being told it's a big deal that he's coming back.
Yep.
Now if he's coming back, it'd be like, oh, okay.
Well, is he gone? You know, that kind of thing.
What?
So, I mean, just so stupid. Shannon Moore, Tyler Rex, the woo-woo guy. Yeah, Yoshitatsu, Snitsky, who I thought was pretty damn entertaining. They got more out of him than I thought they would.
Give him credit for caring, you know. He really put a lot of effort into it. So.
Right. And it was, you know, that was some really over-the-top storytelling, but it was pretty entertaining. And, you know, then they cut his hair off and made his teeth all gross, and that was his gimmick. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. And there he went.
That icing is not a gimmick, man.
No, exactly. Dr. I. Yankum proved that. Let's see. Jack Swagger, I don't get it. I don't get what... Well, and even then, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. He's starting to... They're pushing pretty well on ECW. He's starting to do things. Think it's the Raw where careers go to die.
Yep.
And he has not elevated at all. He could be, you know, he should have won the IC belt or US belt or whatever belt on Raw now and held it for weeks. And now he's doing a gimmick where he's not going to lose till the end of the year. It's October, so you're going to win for two whole months. Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
But even then, you know, Evan Bourne, there's another guy. Same thing. Not that they were going to get a world title, which is ridiculous, this size thing, but that's something they've always done. So, but his crowd was going nuts for him. Now he's, you know, mired in a Hornswoggle-type situation, and there he is.
And like me and Kevin talked about last night, we're being told now that he's a bum.
Yep, he is a bum.
He couldn't beat the popcorn guy at this point, you know?
Nope. And that's what they want to tell you. That's the story they're telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll, you know, like with Jack Swagger is, oh, he's an All-American. He's a great athlete, everything. Then he gets to Raw and just loses to everybody who's anywhere near as good or even slightly worse than him. So you're being told, don't care. It doesn't matter. He's not going anywhere.
Such a great athlete, and he does have a great athletic background and everything.
Right.
Why not take advantage of that? You know?
Because that would take effort, and they don't know how to do that. There's the one thing, the one perk to Russo is he knows how to book the mid-card. There is no mid-card anymore. It's just the low card and the few main eventers.
Exactly. And then they're shocked. Shocked when they put, like, a low-card guy in there against a main eventer and it doesn't get over.
Yep, and then this,
I can't believe they didn't take this seriously. Well, let's see, you know?
Right, and guess whose fault it always is? It's always the undercard guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy can draw. Well, he didn't draw this time, so it's your fault.
Right.
And they're not getting the message. The SummerSlam buy rate was apparently absolutely atrocious.
Right.
That was one of their big four pay-per-views, and now, you know, and look who that was headlined with. Orton Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H Legacy.
Right. Triple H and Shawn Michaels jacking off, like they always do.
Yep. Oh, but we put them over. That was their argument. Was that the pay-per-view? One of those pay-per-views where they actually lost to Legacy? Oh, it was Hell... No, it wasn't LSL. I don't remember. Oh, it was the submission one, whatever that one was.
Whatever, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't at singles match. That's as far as I know.
Right.
Yeah. Yep, that's my idea for later. Okay, Hart Dynasty. I really think the best guy they've called up in forever, like, who's probably the best wrestler right away is Tyson Kidd. And, you know, Harry Smith, if he had a tenth the charisma of his dad, would be something, because he's got a size and the look, and I don't know, he's kind of generic looking, but he's huge. I don't know how he's that huge. None of the hearts are, and Davey wasn't, but he's 6'5" for some reason, and you know, he just has no personality whatsoever.
He got Diana's charisma.
Right. Oh, God, yeah, he does. Sitting in the crowd at SummerSlam 92 or in your house 95, whatever it was. Was that the one against Brett? Yeah,
yep.
In December. Yep. Oh, man.
Okay.
Yep. So who knows where that's going, but I don't hold out hope. Idol Stevens, who they tried 3 different times, did nothing. Matt Stryker, who's now an announcer. Nick Nemeth, who we talked about. Santino, who, yeah, babyface Santino. The original babyface, where he's that's a one spicy meatball guy. And then then the heel said, well, he was treated like, hey, it's me, Mario, with the horrible, you know, horrible, horrible accent. And then he turns heel, and it's entertaining. He's one of the, oh, man, the honk-a-meter was some of the greatest thing they ever did. It made the IC belt pretty interesting for what it was. And then, you know, you have this guy who's really horrible in the ring, and he's claiming he's as good as Honky Tonk Man, who people forget was pretty bad in the ring. Honky was a pretty awful Intercontinental Champion. He just claimed he was the best because it was a joke, because he's a heel. And
he's a heel, and you're supposed to hate him. Exactly.
Right, and it worked, because people were like, oh, man, you know, young kids just hear, oh, he was the greatest Intercontinental Champion, so they believe it, but nobody remembers what a reign that was. A lot of countouts and disqualifications and leaving, and yeah.
Exactly. This is perfect for a heel chicken shit champion.
Right, exactly. And that's how he held it for so long, because he did everything in his power to get away with it. And then when he lost it, it was a big deal, because somebody finally beat him for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the Santino thing, that was great, and they could have kept it going. And for no reason, I don't even remember who beat him for it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, because it didn't mean anything.
Right. Like I said, I don't even remember which mid-card belt is where, because it doesn't matter.
No. Nope.
I think the U.S. belt's on Raw.
I think so, but who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What the hell does it matter?
Nope.
It doesn't mean anything. There's no lineage or history to it. It's just there. okay, back to the list. Shelton.
It bounces around like a spicy hot pepito.
Okay, let's go back to this. Shelton, just because I want to get through this at some point. Shelton, who they've tried, you know, and even got over for a little bit with him coming to Raw, and then I think he's on ECW now. Charlie Haas, who they've tried multiple times with. Brent Albright, who they tried like 3 weeks with, called him the next Benoit, and then he's gone. Sylvester Turkey, what a dumb – that was not – he wasn't good. Here's a name that, again, should be in the list and fits the demographic, Elijah Burke.
Total opportunity.
Talk about a blown opportunity. And even TNA has realized, you know, the Black Pope gimmick, the D'Angelo De Niro name's kind of goofy, but they're letting him talk. That's where and he's charismatic as hell.
Oh, yeah.
He's a street preacher. That's a great thing. I mean, that's so, hey, look at me, and it's going to be so entertaining or annoying, exactly what you want it to be. And, yep, and there he is. You know, he's in ECW for a little while, disappears, and then is never seen again. And they have no one to blame. It might, you know, some of these guys could – conceivably come back, but what are they going to do with him again? Like Christian, even, you know, where's he going? Christian's as high as Christian's ever going to get. But Burke could, I really think, could have been a world champion.
Sure.
Or at least a draw to get people there, you know.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Casey James with Idol Stevens. Ricky Ortiz, that guy sucked.
Yeah.
Wow. His gimmick was that he wasn't very good, that he was like an indie wrestler. That's a good gimmick.
Yeah. Oh,
yep. Colin Delaney, Bam Neely, Aaron Aguilera, Manu, Sean Spears, Kizarni, Braden Walker, you know, blah, 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 name after name after name. Tomko, who, again, had a look, definitely. And well, they even thought about bringing him back, but apparently wasn't in shape or whatever, and we never saw him again. Palmer Cannon, the guy who introduced the juniors to
Woo!
SmackDown. Wow. Super Porky, I'm telling you, and whoever else was there. All I remember is Super Porky. Yeah, that's it. It didn't matter. I don't know why they thought a midget division was going to help them equal things. But, I mean, I'll give them credit here because they know that SmackDown has a large, at the time, had a large Hispanic demographic, you know, watching.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, that's not the worst idea in the world. Just poorly executed, and with anything, anytime WWE does something, here's a term I hate, but like outside the box, like outside of their usual realm, they half-ass it thoroughly. Look at the light heavyweight division. So they had no, you know, that was going to get, and the last name on my list, CM Punk.
All right, well.
Oh, and
hey,
the Bashams. I forgot about the Bashams. Doug Basham should have been.
Another failed opportunity, just like
yep.
Rob Conway, tore it up in OVW, and then they just were given nothing.
Yep.
They were given Chiquita. So they weren't given
yeah.
nothing.
Oh, God. Linda Miles. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Cornette has gone on record as saying she was the worst student he ever had to deal with.
Yep, I heard that too. That's saying something. If you think about all the guys Cornette's ever seen,
right.
that's an achievement. She just, yeah. And so she was tall and skinny. Yeah, she was athletic, but it was basketball athletics and didn't exactly translate to anything else athletics. So, yep. But there, okay, so we got two names out of that entire list who have been world champion. Not even, you know, our main eventers now. One of them's a sort of main eventer if they don't bury him too hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's it. Out of 90-some-plus names in 7 years, two.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of them's Kali.
Yeah.
It's
just incredible.
I know.
It has such a failure ratio.
You just think about with they're afraid to... What's the term? Rebuild, I guess. They're afraid to do like sports do sometimes where you're going to have to lose for a little while to get your right, you know. The old stars get old. People don't want to see them anymore, or they're just not as good as they should be. And so you've just got to put in a bunch of guys that nobody's heard of at first and then work your way up from there.
See, what they don't realize, that's exactly what led to the Attitude Era boom.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
yeah.
what led to the Attitude Era.
It's a very good point. Very good. They had to get rid of all their old guys, so new guys had a shot. You think Rocky Maivia, well, they thought, you know, Rock was going to be a huge star. But bad example. Okay, Austin was going to get a chance if Hogan was still there? No. He didn't get a chance at WCW when Hogan was there. Mankind wouldn't have been where he was. All the guys that made them shitloads of money, Hogan had to take all of his old Savage, you know, all of his old buddies with him, clean it all out. All the other guys had to get old and hurt, and just start over. Again, look at how much the roster changed from 89 to 94 and then from 94 to 99.
Whole bunch. Complete turnover.
Yeah. And different sets of world champions, different everything. Just, you know, 89, it was the Hogan era. Hogan, Zeus, big muscle heads. 94, it's Bret and Owen.
Yep.
99, it's Rock and Mankind or Austin or whatever. I mean, you've got different styles all the time. Those are three completely different type of styles of main events.
Right.
2004, it was, well, yeah, the last pay-per-view I went to was Unforgiven in Portland, Oregon in September of 2004. The main event was Triple H and Orton.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what changed? So, 5 years, nothing.
Nothing, no. The lower card that we don't care about has changed, but the main event, no, nothing.
No.
Just exactly the same. Pardon me, plain. just it's ridiculous. I just it's so frustrating.
I am going to posit that the only way things can really change is that WWE lets big name older guys go.
Right.
Let them go to TNA. So that, well, TNA will gain in stature with these new big names that they added. And then a year from now, WWE will be even better with the young guys that they, you know, they felt they were stuck with are now superstars.
Right.
That's the only way things are going to change.
And they're so terrified to do that. And I think they're a little – I think a lot of it changed when they went public because now they can't let a dip in business because then they got to answer to their shareholders or they're convinced of all this, you know. And I really don't think it's going to change much. I don't think people watch Raw because Cena's there. I think people watch Raw because they've watched Raw forever. That's why I still DVR it. Half the time I don't even watch it in my DVR. I just do because that's been, you know, or if I watch it, I don't watch it for 2 whole hours because that would blow my brain up. But it's just, I think, you know, even Joe Blow on the street could, I think will still watch it and probably will even probably get their friends to watch more if something different's happening. But if you tune in, Erin hadn't watched in months, and she's like, oh, so Orton and Cena are still feuding. I'm like, yep. They never stopped.
That's why 97 was so huge because it was the year of Stone Cold.
Yep.
He didn't even need it. He didn't need the belt. He just needed to be. He looked different. He acted different. It was, like, totally fresh.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good example because – the main event was still with the older guys, but they were doing a great job with the main event and the Shawn, Undertaker, you know, Hart Foundation stuff. But they were able to still get guys ready and push them with, you know, because this goes back to the, I think, the bare bones we've talked about before, but two things that definitely need to change. Wins and losses need to mean something. That's number one. You know, if the UFC, you know, again, I'm going to use the UFC example because it's what's successful right now. They've taken the best parts of wrestling, the best parts of boxing, and combined them. I'm not the world's biggest UFC fan. I'll watch when there's a Lesnar fight and some other good fights, but I'm not, like, following who which fighters where or what have you. But if Lesnar beats Frank Mir, that means something. Amir doesn't get 3 more pay-per-view matches after that immediately because he lost. And he's not, like, nonchalant about it. He goes down the card and has to earn his way back up to a title match.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose. Like, okay, Dolph Ziggler, John Morrison. Dolph Ziggler has lost the Intercontinental title match, like, 6 times in a row. And he just keeps getting title matches because it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
It should, you know, like when Cena lost the belt to Orton at the last pay-per-view, whatever the hell it was, Hell in a Cell, Cena came down to the ring with high-fiving fans, doing his big deal, his big, you know, entrance deal, and it didn't matter to him that he just lost the world title. Didn't matter at all. He acted like it was just another do, and then they shook hands at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really what you want to see.
Right.
I mean, really. And then the other thing was we talked about on the ill-fated Lost audio was the belts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you can do that one if you want, but oh my God. Hello?
Hello? Did I lose you?
Hello? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, there you are. It just must have hit it.
That's what we get for recording live here.
A live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Or gentlemen.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, things suck.
Yes. Yes, and the belts, we need to consolidate belts. There's too many damn belts, period.
Right. We argued, like combining the world titles, so that there's one world title, combining the Intercontinental and U.S. so that there's one secondary title, combining the women's title so there's one of those, and then keeping the tag team belt, which, hey, that's the only belt people care about.
Right. Weird how that is. The
so
unified belt.
To four. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Down to four. Make wins and losses matter. Hype pay-per-view matches. You know, UFC, again, does the 24/7 thing where they build up the matches. They say why they want to win the belt or how much better they are than someone else.
And
WWE, I mean, yeah, I don't like you. I don't like you. Okay. Let's have a match. Gimmick time. Like I said to you before, I can't wait till there's a pay-per-view called singles match just because it doesn't matter. I mean, like, a singles match is going to be such a novelty by the end of a year that anytime it happens, it's going to be like you might as well just rename a pay-per-view after what, you know, what's going on. And then the backlash should be the pay-per-view with all the follow-up matches from singles match, which is what we'll rename WrestleMania. And then there'll be Sunday night at 8 Eastern. That'll be a good pay-per-view. They're talking about renaming Judgment Day War Games for next year.
Right.
Wonderful. I mean, it's just... yeah. Sports entertainment mania is just incredible. So it's such a pathetic direction because it goes back to them wanting to be in the entertainment business and not the wrestling business.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, why would the host of Access Hollywood be guest GMs? No reason.
No reason.
No.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so frustrating. I'd like to get up and get angry, but after a while you just sort of throw your hands up.
Right. And they're making just obvious mistakes. You know, it's just silly stuff now.
Yeah, I agree. It's completely silly, and they're more worried about a SportsCenter moment than building up pay-per-views. They're more worried about their ratings than they are about the pay-per-views, which is where they actually make their money.
Mm-hmm.
Ratings mean nothing, really, when you're not selling the ad time. And, yeah. And this guest GM thing is really, ultimately, it's putting the entertainers over more than the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And making them seem like a big deal. You're spending anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes on the guest host instead of time that could be spent simple, easy time with vignettes or with promos or with anything.
Well, it reminds me of Like, I'll remember that debate on TNA between Russo and Tenay?
Oh, yeah.
Russo was so proud of when they put the belt on our cat and made it on the cover of USA Today. And Tenay pointed out, well, that might be something. But then the next week, Nitro's ratings went down. What do you have to say about that? It's the same thing. Well, yeah, okay, they made a little blip on SportsCenter, but that has nothing to do with Raw.
No.
Ratings. It has nothing to do with making people come out to the arena to see the show.
No. I mean, Eric and I were at the Bob Barker Raw. Bob Barker was, they made sure that Bob Barker was the biggest star there. He's
yeah.
an 85-year-old man who is doing it once.
Right.
Not a guy
That's
who you see
thing.
Every single week.
Those are the stars, the guys that
yes.
are there, all the celebrities see. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Because they WWE so badly wants to be recognized as a viable entertainment that they're willing to they're not even willing to. They'll gladly just put those people over as much as, because they're the big stars.
Yep.
Cena's just a guy, but Bob Barker's a really big deal. Even cause, do you remember that game show he was on a few years ago? That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's like nobody watched. Do you think the Access Hollywood and WWE demographics kind of tie into each other? No. What has Cedric the Entertainer done? Well, anytime recently. Al Sharpton. I mean, it's just all ridiculous. And now it's just like, it's like the talk show circuit where you go do your thing, go show your book or hype your movie, and then, you know, off you go to the next deal.
Yeah.
And WWE's willing to like, yeah, we want you here. That's great.
Right.
Yeah.
They've just completely lost their way. I don't understand why Vince tries to get away from being a wrestling promoter. That's what made him a billionaire in the first place.
I know, and you've brought this up before, and we've talked about it before, but every time he gets out of the wrestling business and tries a new venture, it fails a horrible, horrible, it dies a horrible death. I mean, it fails a thousand times over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. XFL, WBF, WWE Films. Yeah, all failures.
It's all failures except for promoting wrestling.
Right. And now that Shane's gone, uh-oh. Because Shane was the one that convinced him that they kind of needed to start going in a new direction, because he's been watching things. Shane could have taken the, you know, is an avid MMA fan and could take the good parts of that and use them if they
right,
needed to.
Because that really is what they need to do.
Right. Where before they took the ideas from WCW and ECW, now they just need to take it from MMA because that's their only competition. TNA doesn't count.
Right.
They did take TNA's best idea of just making gimmick pay-per-views for no apparent reason.
Continue to point and laugh at TNA because that's all they deserve.
Right. TNA is a rant for a whole different. I don't have that kind of energy, but it's amazing. Yeah. Again, 7 years, how little has changed in TNA. They get less pay-per-views now than when they ran weekly pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So, it's just sad. It's just really sad watching like I said, I've been watching a Foley tape that somebody put together of him and Smoky Mountain, WCW, ECW, and all these are within like a 2 year where he's just running through all these companies, not like staying as well, him staying as long as he needed to and then going.
Right.
And then there's new great competition wherever it is. I don't know about Sandman, but that's at least competition.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a new company, new chance to hone your skills. And I heard Lance Storm talk about this one time. He was saying that, well, like, because he was at the tail end, whereas what you do is you start in a small territory, You know, he went to Calgary and was an underneath guy and worked his way up to the mid cards until all the older guys left, and he was a main eventer. Then he went to England and worked his way from the bottom up there. And you, it's like it was the steps of a ladder. Then you worked your way to ECW. Then you worked your way to WCW. Then you went to WWF. I mean, now the step is Florida, where you're all trained exactly the same way. Well, trained is a loose term. The exact same way. And then you go to WWE.
Right.
Everybody's, you know, there's no way to learn.
And they all have the same voice because
right.
the script's written for them. They're all told what to say, so they all sound alike. They all wrestle alike. They all look alike.
Yep. You know who doesn't script his own promos, and you can tell this, is or who doesn't get his promo scripted, is Jericho. Jericho writes his own, and you could tell. He sounds so different. He sounds, you know, he's really entertaining because he gets, he, you know, but he had to earn that after a decade of being in WWE.
Right.
That's ridiculous. That's how guys got better. You just learn to practice your promos.
Everybody
and
should have that. Everybody should be able to, and then if you fail, it's your fault.
Right. Or even, you know, some guys are just not naturally talkers. That's what the hell managers are for.
Right.
You know?
We already talked about Armando and Rico should be managers, and
right.
I've long said that Kenny Bolin should be a manager, so there's
oh, yeah.
three.
Oh, and I've always said Regal. Regal could be a great manager.
Sure. There's four.
You know?
There
he's one of, probably one of the most entertaining talkers they have.
Absolutely.
And so, it's just, you know, there's four. All and four completely different types of guys.
Yep.
You know, Jimmy Hart was nothing like Bobby Heenan, who was nothing like, you know, hard to lump this guy in there, but Slick. I mean, everybody was different.
Yeah, Bobby
and they
Heenan,
had,
Jimmy Hart, Slick, and Mr. Fuji.
Yeah.
Four totally different dudes. Mm-hmm.
How Mr. Fuji was a manager is still kind of confusing to me.
I don't know. He really sucks,
but... Yokozuma, issue a challenge!
You don't know what Mr. Fuji thinking!
Oh.
He's hearing nothing.
Oh, so good. In a terrible way, but yeah. I mean, there is plenty of room for a guy like a Regal. I mean, you know, it's been 20-plus years. Why not have, you know, if you still want to do it with Cena, whatever. But where a heel manager is trying everything in his power to get the title off of Cena.
Yes.
Why couldn't that be Regal? Could be Kenny Bull. I mean, some guy who needs to take a bump occasionally but keeps throwing a stable of guys. Your guys used to get, you know, be a little more popular or more, you know, less popular in the good way when they were lumped with Heenan.
Yeah.
You automatically knew, okay, well, he's with Heenan. That's something, you know.
Right.
He's not just a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not hard. That's not hard at all, and it's never going to work with female valets. I don't even think they have any managers of any kind anymore.
No. Unless you count Tony Atlas.
Oh, Abraham Washington, yikes. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, there's nothing, nobody anymore. And even then, you don't even have to do like the old school like that. Hell, do even like a boxing promoter type or like a guy who like has a stable of fighters. You know, you can treat him as like a promoter. He doesn't necessarily come to ringside, but he's got a vested interest in everything that guy does, you know.
Maybe stage, does promos, does the talking for his guys.
Yep.
Signs the contract.
All the, yeah, signs matches, signs the rights away. You know.
Come on, agent.
It's easy.
You know?
Easy. Easy. Simple. Simple, simple.
I don't know.
And, yeah, or an agent. Yeah, we've talked about that before, an agent. Why there's no one, not an agent angle, and WWE hates agents, so why the hell wouldn't they do that?
And you know who'd be perfect for that? It's MVP.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And it was right there, looking them in the face, and they haven't done it.
Nope, and probably won't because, you know, And now they've toned, you know, it was before it was the, they only wanted women valets. Now they don't want the women there at all, it seems like.
Kenny Olin would be perfect as an agent. He's just a sleazeball.
Oh,
know,
yeah. Oh. Yeah. And he's one of these guys who could yell at guy. I mean, he'd be such a heel, which would ultimately lead your guy to a baby face. This fat, round dude telling guys that they need to be in shape, that they need
yeah.
to do this, that they need to do that. That's such a heel thing. I mean, it's so
yeah.
perfect. So simple. I mean,
well, he's sitting at like Golden Corral or something with a chicken wing in his mouth, you know?
Yeah.
MVP, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, that would have been perfect. Oh, well, and that would be a great way to get a new guy going, you know? I'm the agent, I represent this new young thing, you know? Like they did with
yeah.
MVP, but like do it with new guys or even with old guys who want to join the Boland stable or whatever.
Sure.
Boland Services would even be a fine name again.
Yep.
So.
Oh, so depressing.
I know, because it's not like we're asking for like Austin versus Hogan versus Flair versus Rock at a pay-per-view.
No.
We're asking for something that isn't even. I mean, we don't need. You don't need to bring anybody more than maybe one manager. Hell, if you don't even want to bring Boland in, use somebody else who's there.
Right.
Boland would be perfect, but I'm just. I mean, it's. Shit they would have never missed before. Never.
Yep.
And now they're competing a war with a company that they own that went out of business 8 years ago. I don't know. The Monday Night Wars died a long time ago, and they're still booking like it is. Still exists.
You know, exactly.
Oh, God, it's so depressing.
It is depressing, but, well, on that note, I think we've gone long enough here for this
Yes,
month.
I agree.
So why don't you say goodbye to these nice people, Jordan?
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for letting me rant. I need to get this off my chest. It's been a pleasure, Dusty, and I will talk to you on the flippity-flop.
All right. Well, for Jordan's psychiatrist who couldn't be here today, I am Dusty Ebing. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We'll attempt to do better next time.